What's up, Connor?
Hey, what's up? How you doing,
Happy
dude?
Happy New Year.
Hey, it's so good to see you again,
2025,
man.
Yeah. How do you feel?
New year, new me.
Yeah, you're back from the homeland. You're back from Ireland.
I'm back from Ireland. I saw my family. I saw my cousins. I saw myself.
Wow.
It was nice.
Did you feel like you connected to your roots there?
There is something there where you're like, This is the soil of which I am from.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
This is the air of which my family...
The potatoes from which I was grown.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. It is pretty. It's sad and alcoholic.
Yeah.
But not in a bad way. Like, in kind of in a beautiful way.
Bucolic and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. I apparently look a lot like my... Like grandfather and stuff. So like, that's great.
He was
so hot. So
so your cousins were telling you this?
Well,
gee, Connor, you look like grandpa.
You really are Grady.
You're really a Grady. Is that what they said?
You really Grady. This one's really Grady. I get Indian really fast. I'm sorry. But like, they said that they actually are largely immigrating to Ireland at a good rate. So maybe my accent will ultimately be right. But.
Well, that's exciting that you're the most Irish of them.
Yes, I did look
you
like my
I
grandfather.
Have the alcoholism to match it.
Well, at the end, he had, was on chemo, and then they said he looks like Connor because he was skinny and it was flattering.
So we both had a struggle. Okay,
oh,
that's
you're
great.
Really Grady.
You're really great.
You're not as Irish as I used to think that you were.
Oh,
I got really good.
Really good.
It was really bad for a long time.
You just had to go to the homeland and unlock.
Oh, we're not as Irish as you think that you were.
Yeah, not as Irish as you think.
The longer
you know,
I go, it's more like I'm gonna get bad at it.
I'm 50% Italian. 25% Polish, 25% Irish.
This girl that I went to grade school with, who mm-hmm. went to Jamaica and got braids inappropriately in 2004, which wasn't okay. It wasn't okay then, and it's not okay now.
Yeah.
And we knew enough then to know that it wasn't okay, because I knew.
Yeah. People were doing that for a long time, unfortunately.
And now she lives in New York and works in recruiting and just got married, Googled her.
Okay.
She
still got those braids.
She was so hot, and she was half Irish, half Italian. I remember thinking, that's the hottest combination.
There's a lot of half Irish, half Italian.
Is it charged to get into this?
No, it's a common combo.
Okay, great.
It's a really common combo because of the Catholic
certain things are, feel like charged, like
sure
that for sure. And then like neighborhoods where you're like, I'm never going to this neighborhood. And then someone's mm-hmm. gonna be like, oh, that's funny because it's actually Cuban. It's actually really Cuban over there.
Yeah, that's actually a very Bosnian neighborhood. So, but you watch it.
So why do you know you're problematic against Bosnians?
Yeah.
Wait, someone was just telling me there are a ton of Bosnians in St. Louis.
Yes, Jeremy Pinson was telling us that.
The more you know.
And then my only know, you know, no of apologies to any Bosnians listening. I don't mean to broad strokes you with my description here, but my grandfather lives in upstate New York in a small farm town, and he's always like picking blueberries in the summer. And when we would go with them to pick blueberries, he'd be like, we got to go early before the Bosnians get there. And I was like, what are the Bosnians?
Is that a stereotype?
Apparently to my grandfather.
My grandmother always said, what are you, Polish? Are you mad?
Well, no, you don't actually.
But she was a bitch. She was a real Livia Soprano.
Oh, wow. Look at you. He's watching The Sopranos now.
I'm trying to do high art. Clubs. There's like an entire OKR this year for me. Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Well, in OKR, when I worked in marketing, we had objectives and key results.
Oh, okay.
That was like, what do you want to do for yourself? And it would be like, my objective is to grow our affiliate program by 200% in
sure.
Q1. And then all the little things are going to do to get there. So that's how I'm doing my resolutions.
I like that.
Yeah, girl boss your way to the top.
That's smart. Listen, if it works for marketing girls, it might work for us. Oh, okay. We lost it.
That's nice, Alexa. Though. Oh, wait, that's so pretty, though.
Not prettier than the logo. Back to YouTube, please. You are watching us live.
Make this easy.
All right. I don't think we have it.
This is like Araby. Do you know Araby?
I'll put it on afterwards.
Do you feel like we're performing for Jackson?
No, are you?
Okay, no.
Our producer Jackson is in the studio with us today.
I'm not.
Okay, so going back to, we were talking about, the Polish thing.
The Polish thing. But she would say it if you did something really stupid as fuck.
Oh, I don't think so, but
I hope legal reaches out.
I'm gonna cover it with the Boys Club logo in post, so I think we'll be okay.
Or these ones.
I just don't want the YouTube video to
like, oh, true. Yeah.
Totally.
Well, I'll cover it with the thing in post and so we'll be okay. Our producer Jackson. No, you're good. You're good.
I just hope that we always have a man in our corner who worries we'll get sued. I just think that
because
there's
somebody that think you could get sued is somebody who believes in you.
Oh, totally. No, yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a sign of like immense respect.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, back to the Polish thing. Yes, it is a slur for when people are doing something stupid, and it comes from, I guess, people thinking Polish people are stupid. My mom's side of the family is Polish,
and this woman was not literate, by the way. She was a moron.
Yeah.
Throwing
stones from a glass house. Yeah.
Not your mom.
Thank you.
Your mom's a doctor.
No, and listen,
of children's eyes,
she's a smart lady. But anyway, that was always something my dad liked to tease my mom about.
Being Polish?
He would call things Polish, and then she would go, Dave.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway.
Oh.
Anyway, do you want to talk about some boys' clubs before we bring our guest in?
Yes. I'm worried. I'm going to have to talk a little bit about Ireland for, like over the next 8 weeks. Like, I'll
Please.
Just, like, kind of, like, bring little ones in.
Yeah.
So, wait, let me think of one.
I can start if you want me to go first.
I don't do travel. Okay. This is negative. My hot take is that when I first got there, I was like, this is so great. 2025 is going to be the year that I like go and I see the world, blah, yeah. blah, blah, blah. And then when I was coming back, the flight, I was like, I'm going to go and see upstate actually. Like,
yeah.
This is the year I get in a car and I drive somewhere. It combines my two things I like the least. And you know this about me. One, uncertainty. No.
Taking your shoes off.
And then two, no loss of control. You have no control
in the sky.
I can't make that plane get there on time.
No,
I can't make this all work.
No, traveling by plane is hell.
It's awful. You shouldn't, like, 8 hours with the same people. Like, you're a community whether you like it or not.
Yeah,
like I feel like I felt close to people I never wanted to.
I like really would love to go to like other parts of the world, like Australia and like across the globe, but I'm like, the thought of being in an airplane for 20 hours makes me wanna
go on the internet.
Yeah,
go on YouTube.
Yeah, go on YouTube. Go on YouTube and subscribe to Boys Club. Also, while
you're Aurora Borealis.
What?
That's Aurora Borealis. I don't know.
Okay.
But it was a lot. And
traveling is your boys club? People who like to travel?
I don't know.
People who don't mind traveling?
My boys club was every fucking person on this plane that was too poor to be in first class. Me.
Yeah.
It was a coach.
Yeah.
But even to be on the plane in the first place is like, was so expensive. It's just like,
yeah. No, it's horrible. And I think that, I feel that planes are getting smaller. Like the seats are getting smaller. I feel like I'm squished back there.
I feel like the woman in front of me did that thing. Okay, do you know Plato's social contract? Is it Plato? Socrates? The social contract that's like...
Vaguely.
I think we have a social contract to not recline our seats on an airplane.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's like, if none of us did, wouldn't be an issue. Wouldn't be an issue. Yeah. And it's like...
And it always feels like the person in front of you can recline further than you can. It's like, this is not really making up for how far back they are to me.
No, and also the issue is not about your upper body. The issue is your legs. And reclining won't even fix that. It's like, I have long little legs. I have to be able to move them all about constantly. Yeah. Like, for medical reasons. And like, I have to be able to get
up
and walk
up and down the plane?
Well, I would like walk to the bathroom and then come back and then go back to the bathroom and then come back and then go back to the bathroom.
Were you in the very middle and you were, excuse me, sorry.
So on the way there, I was on the window, which I like because I was going to ask, are you window or are you?
So good question. It depends.
Style.
If
Thank
I'm an
you.
Early morning flight, I am window so I can sleep. If I'm an afternoon flight and I'm not going to sleep, I do aisle because I got to be the first person to get out of there.
Okay, but I also think
I can't
that
be behind an old lady who can't get out of there. I'm
but
sorry.
If you're
no
someone who
old
is
listening,
well,
old men.
I'm sorry if you're not able-bodied,
or
ma'am.
Or old non-binaries.
We're being mean to disabled old ladies. But I do feel personally what I'm going to say to you is that the people that are getting up and kind of trying to jump the line, it's like you need to sit the fuck down. Is that because of Plato's social contract?
No, all social contracts are broken on an airplane these days.
Okay.
It's lawless. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's the state of the world.
Actually, and what this arrives at is as queer models.
Sure.
The only way, like, we have to, I kind of thought this earlier with you. We need to act like straight men. Like, cis, the way that cis straight men act, we have to because there's no one policing the way that they're behaving.
Can I say, though? I think it extends beyond them.
Oh.
I'm seeing women get up. I'm seeing gay men get up. I'm seeing all kinds of people get up early and...
Not my gay men.
Well...
Jackson? We're going to reference him when he's long gone. We've always wanted to be like our producer, Emily. Is a senior at NYU. Tish.
I think it's bad. I think it's a. I also think being in New York, like we're so used to being on public transit that we're like used to people just knowing where to go and get around, and then you're in the airplane and everybody all of a sudden just decomposes on the spot.
And it's farty.
Yeah.
It's so fucking farty.
Like, I mean, especially in an 8-hour flight.
And like people are eating the entree, and I'm totally pro food, not to food shame, but it's like
they're having the coffee and
don't eat that entree.
Yeah.
I drank apple juice the whole time. That was it. I felt great. But like these people, I'm like, I see that you're eating ham.
Escargot.
You're eating turkey and ham that was delivered to you by Lizanne, our gorgeous flight attendant.
Were they Irish? Was it an Irish team?
It was, one was Aer Lingus, and then one was, there were two flights. Could you? And You know when you have a connecting flight,
yeah,
you're kind of supposed to stay backstage.
You left the airport, didn't
you? Not on purpose. I didn't mean to. I was just following the crowd. And yeah. That's why you can't follow the crowd.
Yeah. And you left the airport and had to go back in through security and everything.
Border control was not
thrilled. I was
going to
say they were probably not happy with you.
They were not elated. But there's something about being...
How the fuck did you get out of there?
Well, everyone else did.
But like
It should be like,
it's
are you
so
sure you
alarming
want to go?
That you were able to fly into another country and get out without customs stopping you.
I know it's... I actually thought coming into the States was like way chill. That's how I feel about immigration control. It was
way
kind
chill.
Of alarmingly chill, actually.
When you're a gay guy coming from Ireland to the US,
no,
it's
totally.
Really chill.
I guess the security is more in the country that you board in. Is that correct?
I think it depends where you're coming from.
Sure. But we all exited the same. Like in life, naked as we came, we all exited the same.
One time when I was coming back from the Cayman Islands, I think. I was in college.
You are so well traveled.
I was in college. It was a family vacation in college around this time of year. And I had short hair at the time. And I think my ID had like long hair. And they flagged me. And there was like no clear reason other than they probably
I thought
just,
you
like,
were going to
You
list.
Don't look like this. And I was just like, and I got flagged. So that was the only time I had trouble with customs.
When you started, we were like, I was short hair at the time. I thought you were just going to like paint a picture of where you were. Like I was dating XYZ.
Well, yeah. But I remember being a little bit pissed at that whole.
They're not nuanced.
No.
What I will say is I think the first observational, I'm not an observational comedian, but the first observation I've ever had. Oh, I'm not. I'm never like, oh, you're ever on the bus and you realize.
Yeah, but I think that's like I think observational extends to your own life too.
Oh, well, in a recent observation that I had amongst others is like a microcosm, kind of like I don't know if that's the right word. A symbol of American that we're lost is when you look at our TSA versus the TSA over in Europe. Whereas like here, it's just like a man who's like, in my line, you're going to take out your shoes and you're going to blah, blah, blah. I had words with them. I exchanged words because my dad said, do I have to take off my coat? And then the guy said, yeah, this ain't pre-check. Me and my dad aren't in pre-check, but then everyone else was. He's like, this isn't pre-check. And then I said, he asked you a question. I got so upset about it. I was like, he asked you a question. It was a yes or no answer. Or it was a yes or no question. And then my dad was like that. Because my dad literally thinks that we're like fucking getting like that we're like being put on some sort of like, I don't want him to get
no,
too dark
the,
with it.
But the TSA like, people are getting.
He thinks they're going to shoot me.
Sometimes they're drama.
I know. He was drama.
I saw on my flight back home for Christmas, there was a dog. There was a big dog that some lady and her family had. And I don't know what the rules are for dogs. My understanding was it had to be pretty small or a service animal to be, like, on the flight. But this dog was going nuts and, like, barking at everybody in line. And the woman had to, like, grab the dog, like around the neck and, like, hold it. And it was still, like, squirming out. And then eventually the security people just came and, like, took them somewhere else. And I was like, I just, like, don't feel like you should be able to just bring a loose dog on
the
plane.
I think we should normalize asking questions at TSA. We are so afraid to ask questions. Mm-hmm. We're so afraid to push back.
Yeah.
We're so afraid to argue. And it's like, that's how the worst things of history have happened. I think at TSA is where it starts.
Yes. We need to you said, I'm no sheep.
I'm no fucking sheep. No. But it's that when you go to Europe, TSA is just like hot queer girls that are like, did you go out last night? And they're just like, they're so chill.
They said, oh, you're a Grady. Get your ass through
there. They literally, like, they're like, they totally, like, obviously,
Mr.
like,
Mr. Janda, get
they,
back
they
through
They were
here.
So kind.
They said, are you that guy that tried to evade customs before?
There was a woman that saved me. She's like, we'll put you in the front of the line.
Good for her.
Yeah, she was really nice. It was pretty embarrassing. I think that they're not used to, because I'm kind of high strung, they don't have that over there.
In Ireland?
Yeah. Like, everyone there looks at me like I'm going through a crisis.
Okay.
But for just being normal, like, what I perceive as normal, we're just being like,
sure.
But there, they're like...
Much more chill?
They're like, drama.
Oh, okay.
This guy's drama. Like,
oh, okay.
They didn't say that, but they said
but
it with
that's
their
what
eyes.
You felt. Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like, I'm not drama. I'm like, let's
just
go.
Just a hot American beach.
Just a hot fucking American. Yeah. I felt like the people next to me were staring at me.
Did you feel, like, incredibly American there?
Yes. And then I thought, like, I love being American. Like, I really do.
I'm proud to be an American.
I just feel like it's like Olivia Rodrigo is so American. Like, that was me the whole time where it's like, Jack Signore, he said, that's not how you say his name. Would you have to cut that?
I mean, I think you can say it, whatever.
The hottest man I've ever met. He said that, like, people, like, love American guys over in the UK. So I might go back for, like, a me trip.
Yeah, but do it.
That, like, we're kind of over it here.
You
like,
can go find your, did you, have you ever seen the movie,
Chasing Liberty.
No, P.S. I Love You.
Sandra Bullock?
No, Jennifer Garner.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
One of her few.
Jackson?
I'm 100% sure it's Jennifer Garner. And
wait, I know her whole filmography. Wait, I believe you.
It's her and Russell Crowe.
No.
It's P.S. I Love You. Oh, is it Hilary Swank? It's Hilary Swank. You understand where I'm coming from.
I think those are three of the same women.
Yeah.
It's kind of insane to it's uplift a, really sad a white woman Ireland. That we already have two times. Totally. Like, it's like, we only need one of those.
Have you seen the Office episode where they decide whether or not Hilary Swank is hot?
No.
And they're fully split down the middle.
The answer was yes, but then there's like kind of bad lore with her. Like, she did something bad to her husband, but I'm kind of like, that's fine. And, but also she was in Boys Don't Cry as,
yeah,
like,
as a trans man, when she very much is not.
We've talked about this. And then her other movie, Freedom Riders.
Yes.
Didn't age the best.
Well, this one, P.S. I Love You, is a really sad love story about an Irish guy. So if you're looking.
Oh. Okay, I'll
I should have told you on the way there. All right, I'll do my boys club and then we'll bring our guest in.
Please, I'm sorry. I feel like we talked so long.
No, yeah, sorry. We've been apart. Okay, my boys club for this to start the year is In-N-Out lists. I feel like everybody was making those, and I'm just like, it kind of goes in the, that is like a sub boys club of the larger boys club of like people that really know how to do like internet stuff and like memes and are like good at that kind of stuff.
I know.
Because I feel like I'm just not really, but I don't know. I just have never really, and I feel like there are people that are just like, they have the most creative In-N-Out list, or they have like, I don't know, they have such a voice with that kind of stuff. And I feel like despite, I know I have a voice as a writer and as a performer because that's like what I do professionally, but I'm like, I couldn't come up with an In-N-Out list, I don't think.
You're not supposed to be able to do everything.
Thank you.
If you're able to do everything, you'd be able to do nothing.
Okay.
That's true. That's the plot of Almost Hates Christmas.
I think you saved me from my fear of not being able to come up with an In-N-Out list.
I feel like that In-N-Out lists are thrive like people who like kind of have like an absurdist mindset a little.
Yeah.
They'll be like in Daffy Duck and everyone's like, fucking yeah.
You know what? Exactly. I'm
fucking
like,
ass
what
off.
Are you talking about?
IG Bowl.
It goes
how do you
over
say that?
My
IG Bowl. IJBO. I just burst out laughing.
IG Bowl.
That's what young people say now. You're young. Do you say that?
I just burst out. No. IG Bowl. I didn't even know that.
No, I'm just kidding. I do this thing where I try to like bait the guest into speaking.
Yeah, you do love to do that. Well.
IG Bowl.
But okay, well, IG Bowl is on my in list, I guess. I just want to be a part of it, but I don't really know how to.
What if you did it really earnestly?
Maybe that.
Like for me, out, self doubt.
Love that.
Morning pages.
Love that.
Look, there's 6 pages of me writing affirmations, which are, I love you in that.
That's great.
3 days.
That's
every
great.
Morning I write 3 pages. Even at the end, I'd be like, we got to wrap this up. It's just made me like, I haven't made any great discoveries yet.
Yeah. Well, it's only the second day.
I know.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I need it, it'll be there. Alexa, stop.
Alexa? She's fully gone now. All right, should we bring our guest in?
Wait, I feel like I didn't engage with their boys club, though.
Well, we can talk about it with our guests, too.
Hello.
Okay, boys, our guest this week is an amazing stand-up comedian, originally from Vermont, I believe, and now does some amazing shows in town. Catch him around town. He has a show tomorrow at Caveat at 9:30 called...
Talk Show with Max
Talk
Higgins.
Talk Show with Max Higgins. Hey. Please, boys, welcome Max Higgins.
Guys, could not be more stoked to be here.
Thank you.
It took every fiber of my being not to interrupt... And yeah. Mention that I am half Irish. It is...
Okay.
Wait, what's the other half?
Filipino.
Oh, fascinating.
Which, and I do feel like when people talk about being half Irish, I feel an obligation to be like, also me. Just to sort of broaden the vision.
Yeah. Do you know where in Ireland your people are from?
Yeah, Clare.
Oh my God.
What about
Tiffany.
So
wait,
that's...
is that west or east?
Bridget.
I think west, to my understanding. Nice. I had, like, that's little to contribute part. Other than, like, I needed to also mention.
Which is good. There's something about, like, being from the poor part, which, like, is, like, thank God.
No, thank God.
You're not trying to be from,
God.
Like, what, the rich? Like, when Jeremy says that his family's been here since 1690, it's like, don't tell people that. Like, you should be humiliated by that.
Well, yeah, I also think, that obviously, like, there's a long history with Ireland and England and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Did they come over during the hunger, they call it now.
They call it the hunger?
Oh, okay.
Well, we were on a tour. My mom's obsessed with when people say the famine. She says it's the genocide. She's obsessed
good.
With that.
Nice.
Good for her.
Yeah.
She should.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You don't need to tell the tour guide that. She's correcting the tour guide. And
yeah,
it's like, he was here.
I think they got it.
He knows.
That is awesome.
Wait, you go.
Okay, the 1910s. I don't know if that is
that's interesting.
To New York City.
I feel like that was... Is that... I don't know.
I don't know. Like, my problem is I actually can't conceptualize the timeline because when I picture Ireland, I'm like, that. It's just the whole thing is sort of like 1800s in my mind.
Even
like
now.
Pre our years, I'm sort of like, I don't know, even now.
Like, you'll meet like a gorgeous girl there that starts like a t-shirt company and you're like, You're not supposed to be here.
I know.
Girl.
You know, we start t-shirt companies in America, okay?
I'm like, you will never reach your full potential here.
You have a beautiful bucolic life here.
No, when I meet an Irish person who listens to pop music, I'm like, wait, no, you sort of have a whole thing.
I know.
Yeah, that I wanted you to tell me about.
Get your folk, yeah.
It is fascinating. Like, I'd walk by like a Taylor Swift poster and you're like, the fuck. Like, that's literally us. It's crazy. Wait, so that is, maybe this year we'll get into Irish history.
I would love that. Absolutely. We'll be listening.
I started listening, no, not listening. I started reading a book last year called Say Nothing. That was, they might have been making a TV show out of, that's about the Troubles in Ireland. Ooh. And
are the Troubles an inner
the Troubles
war?
Are the Troubles are the English, like,
and Northern
genocide,
Ireland.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Your mom can tell him too.
I think
it's
that
the
was
Troubles
the
or the Hunger.
Yes.
Is that the 19th?
Well, I think it went all the way up until the 50s, 60s, 70s, like maybe even 90s.
Even
I think
90s.
It lasted a long time.
Yeah. Because we walked past like an army tank and someone was like, I bet that's when the Troubles, like that. And I was like, okay. So I was like, maybe was that like is an army thing?
Yeah, like what else would it be from?
I don't know. We were there for a long time for me to pick up such little history. Such little history.
Okay, so you're half Irish.
Yes.
And was I right that you are from Vermont, or you did some comedy there?
I lived in Vermont for the last 9 years,
okay,
originally
word.
From Boston, but like at this point, and Vermont is one of these ones where if you live there long enough, you're from there.
Yeah.
You're from Edinburgh. No, we need... Thanks.
You were. When did you go
thank
to Edinburgh?
Thank God for that. I went to Edinburgh.
When I bring him like Max Edinburgh.
I love that that's where I'm from. That rocks. So when people ask... I'm like, Vermont feels very right. And it's like the place that I like feel that I grew up. So it's just, you know.
Yeah.
And Burlington has such like a strong culture and community. And they really also claim you. Like when you pass through for a time and then leave, like Burlington is like, you belong to us in the best way.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you there when Ash Diggs was there?
We had the littlest bit of crossover.
Cool.
And so now we're really good friends because we have that sort of like
He's the sweetest dude.
Oh my gosh,
I love Ash and so funny. That's amazing. Okay, so are you in with the In and Out list? Did that resonate with you at all?
Absolutely. In your take on that, I would be terrified. Here's the thing. I would write one. I'm writing them in my mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Terrified to show a single person.
100%.
Because it's like what. I'm like, yes, I'm certainly all of these. And I can't imagine that they'll like be anything.
Yeah.
If one person doesn't think it's funny, I will jump.
No.
I will literally
it's like,
jump.
It's over.
It's hard for me to get in on like those like, I don't know, meme trends that are like so big where it's like, well, I can't do my version of this. It'll never.
It's like Soapbox where you can just do it really earnestly.
Yeah.
Does this make sense?
Yeah.
As a
or like a 1 minute joke.
Like if you go into Soapbox and you're trying to make everybody laugh,
you're wrong.
Go home.
It's like improv. You listen and you respond.
That's
you
what
don't go
about
for
improv.
The joke.
Right. As a Chicago trained and fired improviser, like I
as
feel
somebody who paid the city of Chicago a
thousands
lot of money
of dollars,
to be there.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
To get bad at improv, I think worse actually over time, honestly, because I think I started to doubt myself more. And as one
which
does,
is out for 2025.
That's
self-doubt
is out.
Is out.
It's
no,
out.
Literally, it's out. Like, what's in Irish history?
Yeah,
I want to know about the
over
Troubles.
The course of the episode. We actually make our In and Out list right here.
Wait, that's beautiful.
We can make one together. Well, so we know so far Irish history is
in,
and
self-doubt
is out.
Yeah, yes,
and flying is out.
Is Burlington absolutely Boston? Out. Are they similar?
Are
they close to each other?
Couldn't be less. Not even.
I feel crazy. I think I confuse Vermont with Rhode Island, which is totally a compliment because I'm obsessed with Rhode Island. But like, I think to me, they're like the same.
I feel like it would be much easier to conflate Vermont and New Hampshire since they're kind of like invertedly next to each other.
Yes.
The map that we see is different. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're seeing a different map.
You don't know Vermont and New Hampshire?
You don't know my geographical history.
Okay.
Which is funny because in my mind, you are Boston and I have no...
Bro. Seriously?
I have no...
Philly.
And I've listened to the pod, so I know that, but... Of course. But in my mind, even still, like, just when I, like, think about you, I'm like, right, and of course, you're, like, Mass, Boston, so...
Wait,
and compliment from
yeah.
me.
Amazing. Some people say I seem Midwestern, and I would be like, I was being fake. I was being fake.
I was
nice.
Being too nice.
I was being a fake nice bitch. At work, people say I should get a raise every time someone says I seem Midwestern because I'm really doing my job. Over
seriously,
there. I know.
Somebody told me the other day at work that he was like, I love that you are not afraid to yell at those 6-year-old girls. And I was like, sometimes they need to be yelled at.
I'm not afraid to tell the truth. to a child.
I'm not afraid to be like, you're in the wrong spot and you need to move.
Emily, let's go.
That's what we need to start saying when people recline their seats on the plane.
Yeah.
Because it's actually, I was thinking, it's always children. And that's why I feel like I...
And they don't need the space.
Right. And I feel like, oh, well, I can't be upset anymore because I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it's always a child reclining the seat and I want to go. And then I go, oh, yes...
Wait,
I think there should be planes.
You can be more upset.
Do you think? Okay.
No one was. People aren't getting raised anymore.
I think there should be planes for the ages of 0 to 18 and whoever's accompanying you and 70 plus all on one plane. And anybody between the ages of 18 and 70, maybe 60, get to be on a different plane. And if you are bad at that plane process, you have to go to the bad plane.
You're bad at the plane. You've been bad at this plane.
You've been bad at the plane. There should be people watching you. You've cut in line. Bad plane.
If you have farts on the plane, you're bad at the plane. If you're eating the turkey, the turkey's a test. They don't want you to get the turkey.
They have the menu.
If they want
it, they don't even have it.
If they bring the menu by and you order something, you're off the plane.
The man next to me didn't speak English, and like watching him, and which is amazing. Obviously, we're in international skies. We're in the sky, and but
in
like
God's kingdom.
Watching him and Lizanne commute, try to figure this out was just a mess.
Was Lizanne? Was it a New York based crew?
Lizanne was a freaking gorgeous British woman.
Oh,
I think she was nice. British.
I flew Air. British Airways when I went to England once.
I love British Airways.
And it was so nice because just them having a British accent is like, all right, now I'm right on the plane. When they're like speaking to you, it's just so much nicer.
She was so happy and beautiful.
And American voices.
Self-actualized.
Yeah. She's in.
We kind of bonded because like we were together for 8 hours. Like that's more than I know most people.
It's like an entire work day.
They're just pouring me apple juice and every time I would ask for it like 6 times, she'd be like, yeah. And be like, and like she's probably like, why doesn't he drink? And it's like, well, a whole long story. Mysterious. Why is this guy who's watching The Sopranos, which has a lot of naked scenes? There's nothing more awkward than watching The Sopranos because like they're in the strip club.
It's that, or if you like, I found myself watching Inside Out 2 on a plane recently, and then I was like, is somebody just be like, who is this grown man watching this Inside Out cartoon by himself?
You can't apologize for doing the work.
Thank you.
And also, it's like, if you have an issue with seeing tits on the TV, that's I can't be responsible for your problematic issue with the body.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no. Yeah. But if you are a child, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm sorry.
That's why they can have their own plane. Yes. Thank you.
And
thank
it,
you.
Is it worse when you see a man getting whacked on it? Like have you seen Sopranos? Oh, yeah. Not whacked.
But I love, I was like, okay, well, yeah, what are you watching on the plane?
I think the way I said whacked with my gay voice was like, what does he mean? Where if I said whacked?
Whacked.
It would be obvious.
Yeah.
Do you
watch
The Sopranos?
No.
Wait, you should engage with this high art of
Wait,
The Sopranos.
Okay. This is the
you are
school I'm not a part of.
But you are a part of high art. You went to Edinburgh.
Oh my gosh. That makes me feel odd. That's awesome.
True.
Okay,
can
great.
Can you tell us about it?
Oh my gosh. It's a great city. I had never been. I'd never been to Europe. I went for Edinburgh Fringe and I ran my show for a week. And I went, what I thought was the second to last week and was ultimately the last week of Fringe.
Oh, damn.
Which is.
Why?
A different vibe. Why? I don't.
Did it get shut down?
No, like it just, that was the schedule the whole time and I didn't read
it. That was a Max issue.
Wait, I respect that about you.
Yeah.
You're an ENFP.
INFP, really close.
Wow.
You're an introvert? You're hiding it well. Are you stressed out by
it's,
this?
No, I love this. I'm like, I'm in boys club, this rocks.
Yeah.
No, the I and E, I don't know. I haven't taken that since I was 18.
Yeah.
And I do think after I came out, like the overwhelming feedback was that you are an extrovert.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, yeah,
what
yeah.
if the test was like you're closeted?
I know.
For now.
I was like,
do a little soul searching and we'll see you soon.
That's beautiful. That's it's beautiful, like people yeah. don't talk about that enough. It's like when you come out, it's like your personality will change.
It is. I was yeah. people, you're shy. I'm like, that's, it's shocking.
I'm hiding something. I'm in a deep cocoon.
Yeah, I'm like, I think it's true of also every closeted kid that yeah. I knew from high school. I'm like, oh, they're actually all, it's like when you see someone at a rave or something, I'm like, oh, these are kids who were shy and
yeah,
closeted
yeah.
and now we're like, oh, actually, I'm so fine.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
But yes, no, I misread the schedule. So
you're there for the last week.
Did you end up staying longer than necessary?
No.
I have so many logistical questions about you misreading
Ultimately,
the schedule.
It was so fine. But yeah, it's the. Have you been to Edinburgh either?
Mm-mm.
No.
I really want to go, though.
If you like, yes, and if you like Ireland, it's so... Because I went from London to Edinburgh, and a good friend of mine grew up... Sophie.
Do you know Sophie and Zoe? Don't you know them?
Wait, which Sophie?
Sophie Fisher.
Yeah. Question mark?
Wait, we have to cut.
No, we're not cutting.
Look at me. We're not cutting.
It's okay.
Promise me we wanted to cut this.
Well, now it's making it worse.
And now it's.
But anyway, we have to have another moment.
You were in Ireland. With your friend.
From London. Yes, from London to Scotland. The vibe shifts so good. Because I think Scotland and Ireland, they have really similar personality types, which is like real people. Whereas in London, everyone's, you know, it's a little bit, sorry if people are listening to London and are about to hate this. I had a friend. Yeah, it's good. My friend grew up in Scotland for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of updating him on the whole trip because I was so stoked. And when I finally got to Scotland, he's like, way better, right? I was like, yeah, it's crazy.
Can you compare it to a place that I've been to?
No, well, Ireland. That's like sort of the one place I've been.
Yeah.
So like, you know,
it's a lot like Edinburgh. Fuck.
Here's the thing, though. I will say the one like my asterisk to Edinburgh, treacherous sidewalks, like the cobblestone. Because I had heard people mention like
I almost fell. I really did.
Yes!
It's crazy. And you're like, they don't even have lawsuits here. Like, who would you sue?
Yeah.
Yeah, people were like, oh, I like broke an ankle at Edinburgh Fringe. I was like, you're being crazy. And then I went for one. I was like, okay.
You're already in 10 grand of debt from going to the festival. And now you have a broken ankle. Jesus.
No. So what I will say, the asterisk is slippery. Yeah. Cobblestone. They didn't change it.
That's like Bond Street. Do you know Bond Street in New York City?
Yeah.
One time I went down on that street and then my ankle was really fucked up. Do you remember this?
You were looking at your phone and you fell?
What was I looking at on my phone?
Grindr.
Which I'm off of this year. And
oh, really? That's an out. Grindr's out. Grindr's
it's out. I was just like, what are we doing here? Like, I need to, like, I think it's like, get good with you first before you get good with the community of Grindr.
Sure, yeah.
So that's in, and add that to the list. But then I went down, and that should have been it right there. Yeah. I literally was out for the count for like 4 weeks.
You know who could... You could sue Grindr, maybe.
Maybe. To be sober from alcohol and to go for Grindr to be your undoing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's tough.
You can be dry, but not sober. Think about that.
That's going to take me the rest of the episode and evening to think about.
You can be dry, but not sober. That means you're not currently drunk, but you're not off the sauce.
like you can be someone who doesn't drink.
Yes.
But you're not really sober.
Yes.
Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Because
you're still beholden.
And there's you're putting your addiction in other things.
I'm getting into like AA, but not literally going, just thinking about it.
So yes,
like,
you're in the space. Consider. Noted.
He's
yes.
making the 13th step as we speak.
Okay, wait. I'm excited to figure out what Scotland is.
Wait, no, I think you're going to have a great time. And I hung out with Zach Senor in Scotland.
Oh,
and
no.
We were talking all about the guys. It's awesome.
Yeah. They think being American's cool still.
I mean, here's the thing. That didn't happen for me, but I didn't hear about it. So
yeah, I feel like
what if it's a Zach thing?
He is chiseled and 6 feet tall and has very beautiful hair. Like, it might be that.
Right. But I do like that he sort of is like, no, this could be for you too. Yeah. I'm like, I love that you think that.
He has such an optimism. Yeah. About it. Yeah.
He has been on this podcast.
Oh. Wait, I was going to say, I feel like that's something that he could do kind of any country he went to. He would be like, yeah, everybody loves me here. Yeah, you look like a blonde Tarzan. Like, no wonder. I also feel like there's like that, I don't know, if Americans go out of the country or other people from out of the country come here, like there is always there's something sexy about you because it's different, even if it's like,
also because you're leaving.
Yeah, yes. True.
If you want someone to care about you, you've got to leave.
Couldn't be more true.
Yes.
Wow.
The best way to get attention is to leave.
Yes.
So pack your bags. If you're feeling like
so
you're low
on
the priorities.
I actually can't finish this podcast. I do have
literally.
To
we'll like, never know what his boys clubs are.
No, it's true. In, added to in, leaving.
Leaving. Leaving's in. Staying's out. Equal and opposite. All right, should we
what's a boys club
clubs?
You are in?
Okay.
Is it, which was the first one? We went to the song.
Out, not remembering the order. boys club you're not in.
What's one you're not in?
A boys club I'm not in. There were so many to pick from.
You can do as many as you
Yeah, we can do a bunch if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
The first
Build
one
from
was
abundance.
Survivor.
You're not in that one?
I'm not in that one. And it only comes to me because people often assume that I am.
Okay.
So that's one I'm not in.
Yeah.
I don't like the people assume that about you. And I am in that, but I think it's kind of rude.
Yeah. I wonder what survivor energy you're giving. Do they think you like activities and tasks or something?
I can't tell. Maybe people who don't know me.
Sure. I think it's that you like seem excitable by like cerebral activities.
That makes me feel better about people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's like mean. I just think people should keep that to themselves. Like, it's not like they're not bullying you.
And I hope after they listen to this, yeah, they do.
They're not, yeah, like, I got you're in math or something. They don't, yeah, guess that.
That's
like,
true. It could be worse. I never really, I watched a little bit of Survivor. I've watched it a couple times. I've never watched it all the way through though, but you're a big Survivor guy.
I think it's worse when people assume that you're into like Real Housewives. That's
yeah.
No, I think that's worse. That's more like you're an annoying gay guy who likes messy women and wants to spend your media capital, your buying power on watching messy women. Only Salt Lake City. And like that, I don't like that.
Yeah.
My thing is gay guys should stop watching messy women on TV and we should watch gay media. This is gay media.
Yes. Mm. And maybe some women who are not going to jail.
Yeah, I like women out of jail. Unless they're in there for like an oppressive reason.
You know, yeah, bad reasons, yeah.
Wait, but I do love Survivor. I started watching when I was 6.
Oh my God.
I think kind of fucked me up a little because.
Really?
The part that fucked me up, I think, was the confessional. Because you would always watch people talking to the camera, and then I would imagine people talking about me in third person. And from a young, young age. And I think that kind of like messed me up kind of in a big way.
Well, so maybe I'm like glad to not be in this, yeah, this boys club.
You missed it at a, yeah, good time.
If I also I think kid, I just don't understand the rules like when people have tried to explain it to me. So that's sort of the other half.
To be a lot of rules. And I think you are more familiar. And I know that they've changed and that's upset you over the years. But there is...
It's like a charge statement.
Oh my God.
There's like the tribes and they're fighting each other and there's intellectual talents. But there's also like you have to like actually survive. Like that's an element of it too.
No, they don't let anyone die.
Well, of course. But
they don't. You'll be fine.
They're not going to let you die on CBS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you'll be totally good. It's on, yeah. It's not like TikTok media. Like that's a Survivor I would watch. It's TikTok media does Survivor.
Yeah.
Like if that, but survive, the rules used to be really simple.
Okay.
You're watching 16 people on an island. The towers are standing. It's 2000 and they are just voting each other off and they're competing for $1 million. And like that, it was,
which by the way, has not been increased with inflation. So
it's the exact same.
Wait, oh my God. Okay.
So like, and then $1 million was like $40 billion. Yeah. So like totally different. And there's like a gay guy won the first season, which was like huge.
Now, really?
He was bad and did go to jail for tax reasons and okay. Which kind of valid. So,
well,
but like that was it. And now they've like thrown in all these like stupid twists. But I consider that to be like often as producer intervention, because I feel like you need to know the game that you're playing. Like you should know what the rules are, know what's coming at you. So when it's like, psych, we're actually voting two people off today or whatever. It's like that's not actually like encouraging people to play strategic games. I do feel really passionate about this.
Right. I can hear that.
It will also, it's always going to be interesting to watch 16 people compete for $1 million. That'll always be interesting.
Yes. I do think that the number 16 feels like too many for me to.
I have
like,
bad news. They've increased it. See, I like 16.
It's 32 now.
It's big.
I'm actually
like
shocked that is the case.
In Australia, it's like so many.
You know what show? Oh my God.
It's like so many white people in Australia.
You know what show I wanted to watch that is maybe kind of similar? There's a show on Netflix that's called like 100 men or something like that. And it's just like 100 dudes starting out and they're doing all these physical competitions until there's one left. I think it's Japanese or Korean. I don't know for sure.
We need to get people writing again.
But it is... I like talk about too many people. Like, but it, like, I think it starts with them all from like a dead hang, and it's like just like to get them out of there off the bat.
We'd be good at that.
True.
This is how I felt about Dunkirk, where it was like
we'd be good at that.
You can only look at so many men that look the same at one time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just like
well,
not...
that's the other thing. They're introducing you to these 100 contestants. You're like, I'm not gonna remember any of these.
No
chance.
That was literally,
and they're all men. Like, how am I to right?
Is awful.
Kind of different.
Did you see Dunkirk?
No.
If you weren't Harry Styles, I didn't know who you were in the movie. It was like...
Yeah, that one sticks out for a reason. All right. All right. So Survivor.
Survivor.
You don't need to know Survivor.
Okay. Yeah. My other boys club that I'm not a part of, which felt more embarrassing but has been on my mind since I moved to New York, is dating. Like, I really think that it's some people that's a verb, for, you know, and
a verb.
Yeah. It's like dating is a verb. It's like a thing that they're doing, sort of like going to the gym. Like, I feel like some people, it's like part of their integrated life. And I'm like, even just sort of looking back at my life, I'm like, oh, I've never really done dating. I think as it's done, I think once every couple years, I fall hopelessly in love with someone.
Yeah.
And then we maybe wind up in a relationship, but not always.
Yeah.
And like, that's for... Anytime I've been on a date, I've been like, this is a stranger. And that's...
Yeah.
And I do think that since I moved here, I'm like, there is the culture of it. And I'm like, oh, I'm just like, this is not in my world. Like, I don't understand it.
I love the way you said dating is a verb. I feel like I'm going to casually like present that to someone as my own original idea.
I actually love that. Please do.
I'll be like,
and
you
then
know,
they're going to be like, exhibit A, the boys go podcast.
You know, dating is a verb. Okay. And then I'll walk away.
Yeah.
Wait, that's interesting. I think that that's a very fascinating concept, because dating often is a stranger. It's a stranger.
It's always a stranger.
It's always a stranger that works in logistics.
Yeah.
And you're like, tell me about shipping. Tell me about these logistics. And then they won't ask you one question.
No.
And if they do, you'll be offended, because you'll be like, well, the state of writing is really bad right now.
I similarly have never had like a, I mean, I've been like, I would call my like dating phases like so micro. And right. Like anytime I feel like I saw like more than one person in a shorter period of time, it was like in college, where it was like, I wouldn't even really call that dating. I would call that like going to parties and running into classmates. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay.
And running into peers.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like more of a, but it, when coming to New York and stuff like that, I was like lucky that I met my girlfriend Maddie doing open mics, honestly, because I was like, I don't know how I'm just like, also I'm the same way, where I'm like, every couple of years I fall hopelessly in love and hope it works out,
just fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah. But it's, some people are so good. I actually feel like you are very good about dating.
Oh my gosh, you're in every boys club I am not.
Is my body language gonna be weird on the video if I sit like
no,
this?
No, I think you look great.
I feel great. I
love your pants.
Yeah, these
seriously
rock.
These no, were in the military.
They're good pants. Cool.
They're from the army.
They're from the
wait, that's awesome.
But
to the 90s.
You go on like I feel like you're good about like scheduling dates and going on dates.
Yes, I just like, I do,
which feels like half the battle.
Yes
I am good at that. Yeah.
Do you have fun when you're on them actively?
Do you want to know something?
Yes.
It's not that I don't have fun when I'm on them.
Okay.
Oftentimes after, I'll just be like, I like really don't ever want to see that person ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like that's hard to like, but I think that that's a result of, yeah, you went on a date with a stranger.
Yeah. Right.
Why would you go on a date with a stranger and want to see, like every time I've ever been obsessed with someone.
Yes.
Because I know what you're saying.
Yes.
The head over, fall in love, ruin your life with this person, lives ruined, bloodshed. That's from Veronica Mars. Did you watch Veronica Mars?
No, but
lives
I love it.
Ruined, bloodshed, epic. The kind of love that they had.
Wow. That's
he was awesome. A bad guy. He dies in the movie version. Anyway, so what I'm saying is, those were all people that I like randomly, like I worked with.
Yes.
I supervised.
It was my boss. It was my other boss. Then I was his boss.
Wait.
Okay, valid. Like people worked or like was in a fraternity with,
yeah,
he was
yeah.
in charge of making me give him money, like that kind of thing.
Totally.
Like was like working on a project, and then you're like, I'm not attracted, like it's not to just be hot, like
right.
I don't care if you're hot, like lots of people are hot, like whatever. Yeah. But like it's someone who like randomly, like you don't expect anything of a person, and you're like, oh, I'm obsessed with that person.
Yes.
I want to die for them.
Right.
Yeah.
That doesn't come from a date.
No.
It's hard with like, I mean, we've talked about this before on the pod, and like it's so hard with like dating apps, because the things that they ask you about yourself and about other people are just like really often not, I mean, going back to our like ins and out lists and stuff, I feel like people take those Hinge prompts as an opportunity to like be kind of like internet-y in a way, and like not like actually about themselves in a real way, but like it's another shield about like, I mean, not everybody, but I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
But like the problem is that there's something about like when you like don't take it seriously enough, and you're like, okay, like whatever, but then if you take it really seriously,
well, of course there's a boundary, there's a balance, there's
you're
a balance.
Like right. I don't know who hurt you.
Anybody's being so earnest on the apps, it's like maybe delete,
because sometimes,
because I don't know if this place would be for
it's
you.
Not good for you.
No.
Sometimes
no.
they're like angry, they're yeah. like, what ooh. Am I looking for? Someone to tell the truth, like someone to finally, like literally, like that's like
okay.
someone who can actually commit.
So come on this date with me and my lie detector test.
Didn't I do that years ago? I went on this one date with this guy, actually it wasn't one, it was a couple, but by the end it was just getting naked, and like, but it started as dates, and
yeah,
he worked in HR, but he started out as an opera singer, and I think that's beautiful, and he was really nice sometimes, but he would be like, oh, he was like, this one guy I went on a date with, he said he never wanted to see me again because we didn't have a spark, and I was like, that's such a good reason. It's like, if we're not looking for a spark, what are we here
yeah,
for?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what are we looking for?
But it's hard with like with the dating apps and stuff, because you can like look at this, all these credentials of like why we should be a good match or something, right. But like those things often don't matter as much as you think they do, or come up as much as you think they do, or like once you get, I don't know, just like you can't emulate what you actually need to know about a person through the apps.
Yes,
you need to have that, like, because any successful, like anytime I've actually ended up with somebody, it was because I met them first, we hit it off in person, and then we went on a date.
Yeah.
Which is like how it's supposed to go. Not like, oh, let me just meet this stranger and hope the sparks hit or waste $7 on a drink in an hour of my time.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like the information I need to know, I feel like I can't get from a date because what I need to know is like what you're doing, like what you look like when you file something late or, you know, or like what you look like when you have to leave early secretly and you don't want people. I don't know. Like, I just need to observe you not trying a little bit. And I think that's one thing I am adjusting to here is that in Burlington, like the whole city was like your coworkers. Like, you just know everyone. Yeah. You're seeing them all day, every day.
Yeah.
So it is, it's like, I'm like, how do you get that information from some? Because on a date, it's like, you're like, okay, here we are.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the things that I'm going to say. I'm like, nah, see, this isn't like, what, I don't need this.
It's like also like a projection of the best version of you.
Right.
Yeah.
But also the worst. Also the worst. Because some people would argue that the best version is the spirited, beautiful version.
Of course.
With the gay boys. And like, the one who,
are you going on dates being like, what's up, brother?
I don't know.
Sometimes. Did you going to get a hoagie with me?
I think it's got a little less sparkle sometimes.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Someone on a date one time was said that something along the lines of how we both don't read that gay. And I was like, I got to be code switching, I guess.
Did you feel that switching. Way about them?
Yeah, it's like maybe when we're swimming in gay metropolis of New York.
I feel pretty gay in New York.
Yeah. Did you feel like the dating scene in Burlington was like easier, or do you find that it's fun to have like a bit more of a pool here?
It's pros and cons, ins and outs. It's, I mean, it really, and I compare Burlington is, it is Gilmore Girls. Like, you are dating, you are breaking up, you are seeing your ex. Yeah. It's like the ex-husband episode is happening. It is happening. When I go back to Burlington now, every episode is the ex-husband episode. Like,
brutal.
Who's Christopher?
Yeah. Rolling up on a motorcycle, taking off the, hey, what's up, Matt? Like, it's, so it's on some level haunting, but also it is very, what's nice.
Well, Jerry's pregnant.
But wait, I love, is this season one? Is this season one that you're describing?
Season three, ultimately. Okay, I'm currently rewatching, so I have it to the season, to the episode.
Not to be negative, but I love seasons one through three, and then four is fine, five fine, six fine, seven never watched. I like knew I wasn't going to like it.
That's shocking.
I like love Amy Sherman Palladino, apparently. Is she canceled? I hope not.
Wait, no, I would be devastated.
I love her
was.
In her hatch. When she stopped writing, I said, well, I'm not watching.
No, I did watch, but it wasn't worth it probably. And I actually, in fact, I fear finishing this rewatch. Like, I think I need to get disinterested because I will be deeply upset.
Just pretend it ends at six.
Yes, or even sooner. Maybe.
I think the first three are easy to look at as a series in and of itself. Like, before Rory goes to college, I consider those to be its own thing.
Yes. Oh my gosh,
when
no
she's
question.
At Yale,
I'm gonna be honest, I even consider season one its own thing just because they shot it in Canada, and to me it feels like New England. Whereas the rest of it, I immediately was like, we're in California and I can't deal with it.
Why did they do that?
I don't, because they got money, I think, a real studio.
Yeah.
And 9/11 happened.
I guess that
maybe,
too.
You know how that affected Canadian television filming.
They were like, we're actually over this.
Wait,
we've said everything we need to say.
So my dad, not to age myself, please. I don't want to know how old you are because we can't cut it. And so, and we wouldn't have to cut, we'd have to cut my reaction. So like, I just,
we wouldn't cut it. We would zoom in.
I watched the pilot with my dad when I was the age of, I was six, and I watched the pilot with him as he was hanging up Halloween decorations. He was putting little newspapers into bags to make them look like ghosts. He bought them. That
That's
way.
Cute.
Yeah, and then he'd put them on the tree and we watched the first episode, and then he never watched another one, but I watched every other one after that. I like loved that show so much.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's awesome.
He's alive. I said it like he was dead.
I do think that was a small question in my mind, and so I'm glad it just answered off that.
Every time I talk about him, I feel so heightened with it that it does always feel like
it was. I was right there.
The spirit of him is with me now. It's like, he's also in Lafayette Hill, Pennsylvania. Sorry, not to out where he is, Mr. Dranda.
No, if they wanted to, they would.
if they wanted to, they would.
We would be so lucky. Fuck yeah. Okay, wait. Sorry, we were going back to
the dating. Oh,
yeah.
So,
have you never been on a dating app?
No, I did. I was on the dating apps for a month when I was in Burlington. I was maybe 20. And then I was like, "This is, I'm done with this." I did use it to get.
And then you're gonna say how many years ago it was, and it's gonna be like we told you not to.
Wow,
Connor, in me, the way that I said
it was yesterday.
You went stop. I forgot.
Do not bring numbers into this podcast. We'll start doing math.
I swear to God. And when I moved to New York, for 3 weeks, I was like, well, it's New York. I think that was the adjustment. In Burlington, you kind of actually don't need them. Every face that you're seeing, if you don't know it, you know the people who know that face.
Yeah.
So you can sort of get the information.
You should not be on dating apps.
No, I know. Why do you think that?
Because I think that we, as a culture, need to live offline.
Got it. So you meant you, everyone.
Yeah.
Not
I feel like I'm kind of like, you shouldn't.
Big,
let me know how it goes.
The big why.
Yes. I was like, wait, why me?
Max, report back. How
you
you're
shouldn't.
Doing.
And like,
I deleted them, if that helps.
We all have to delete them.
Okay. Yes.
I think they should be
I agree.
It's not, we are as a culture, and it's not just dating apps. I think it's like a lot of the apps. It's all the apps. It's Twitter. It's all of it. We are so online.
Too much.
No, it hurts.
Our brains don't know how to just like wander and think about The Sopranos anymore. And since I started engaging with high art watching The Sopranos season one on an airplane, because it was the only time I ever was like trapped somewhere. Yeah. So I like had to, if I didn't watch 7 episodes of The Sopranos on the way to Europe, I never would have gotten into it.
You're so right. Okay, the last Boys Club episode I listened to, you said sometimes it's okay to stop, move, just not move and just look
at
the
wall. Did I believe it?
I don't know, but I literally can't stop thinking about
it. It's crazy how we're on here saying the wisest things that we don't even know.
No,
we couldn't take our own advice if we tried.
I was like, Connor, you're so right. And now you're like, I have no idea.
Connor said, if you didn't tape my eyeballs to the screen, I wasn't going to watch it.
We creatively, you know, we have this thing called the... The wandering, the wandering, the wandering, WOANDERING,
which originated from one time where I said the wandering, and he thought I said the wondering, and now we call it the wandering.
Because you need to wander, and you need to wonder to create, unless that's not your process. But like, no, not to shame anyone's process, but I do feel like it's like, what would you? Sometimes you just need to like think for a long time to like create, and like in creativity is like a lot of in this 9-to-5 world, and even like just online in general, there's like this pressure to be like to do something immediately, and it's like go look at a tree.
Yeah, I was watching my dad over the holidays. My siblings and I were doing a puzzle, talking, chilling, whatever, doing a puzzle, and my dad was on the couch watching Instagram reels, and I was like, this is so backwards. Like, this is not how this should be. But it was also making me like. I was like, Jesus Christ, like, these have gone so far that now, like, I would think that, like, my parents would have enough years off of things that they, like, of, like, having never been online because they're in their 50s. So, like, they grew up without the internet, obviously, and, like, it didn't come into their lives until after they were out of school. I would think that they wouldn't be as, like, encapsulated by it, but, like, it gets older people, too. Like, it's not just us who have been around it our entire lives. You know what I mean?
These people were in the war, and they are on Instagram Reels.
On Instagram Reels.
That's not good.
No. If anything, I also feel like we developed certain mechanisms, like self-protection, because we were on it so early. Whereas, like, especially Facebook, I'm like, oh, this isn't gonna, like, I understand what's going on. But if you were never on it, it's like Instagram is like a casino they built for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
obviously, you're gonna get locked in there forever. And it's open 24/7. They're like, come hang out.
Yeah.
So it's like, at least, and even though I'm in the casino, I'm like, okay, I understand what's going on. But if
you're
older,
like, I work at the casino, okay? This casino is owned and operated by me. So if we don't keep the slot machines loaded.
Totally. But to your point, I'm like, oh, I can't imagine having no context for this and then being given that. Like,
yeah. It really made me, I was like, Jesus Christ, we got to take his phone away. I was like, this is not good.
In the context kind of with Gilmore Girls season one really makes me just want to explode. I'm like, you're so right. Like, what's this world where you're like, okay, did you do the artist way?
Yes.
Do you know the part of the artist way where I engaged with it and I finish it? No. But do you know the part where it's like, imagine your life is 5 other things, but not other people, just like you had made other, like you live somewhere else, you made other choices.
Yes.
So the one I kept coming back to is like, what if you just like live outside of Boston, which isn't where I'm from. So it was more like original when I did it. Like, you live outside of Boston and it's
where
just
you
like,
live in my mind.
And it's just like a fisher town. You don't know what time it is and you just like fish and then like cook for your family and you're just like, whatever. Like, that is, I don't know, like there's this whole world where it's like we're offline and we just like walk to the bookstore and then like the coffee shop and stuff, and like we don't have that because we're like literally like always on a high on our phones. Yes. Like,
yeah,
even at the coffee shop
we're never alone.
Yeah,
yeah, like people used to be alone. And I think that's good.
I try to leave the house without my phone if I can, because I'm like, I just like don't want to be on this thing.
How long can you leave the house for?
Well, I guess it depends if like I'm... Now that I have my trusty iPad, if I'm like going to go to a coffee shop and write or something like that or work, I'll take the iPad with me because I can like connect to Wi-Fi and text if I need to. But there's no social media on there, so like I just like keep it.
Right.
How do I turn my texts off? Do you notice that I'm always on Do Not Disturb now?
I'll show you.
That's why.
I'll show you how.
Because it kept interrupting the Sopranos. And now I just have Do Not Disturb. I know.
Carmella is my IR. Speaking.
Do you watch the Oh, wait. You already said that. I'm so embarrassed.
Yes. Since between now and then. Yes.
Max has been watching it secretly while we've been recording.
On the fucking other side of my eyeballs.
Which other shows do you watch?
I haven't been watching a lot of TV recently, so I feel like all of my answers are shows that I have watched.
Which shows are important to you?
Rami.
Oh, nice.
Doctor Who. The two answers. And then... Great. I don't know why I can't summon a third
you're good.
TV show.
No one ever talks about Gilmore Girls.
Wait, that's insane. Yes, except Gilmore for this Girls one. Is so important to me.
You talk about it a lot.
But I do.
I'm no one.
Connor.
You have a microphone to your mouth right now.
This one time. This is a platform. Remember that one time I dated that lawyer for 3 months who had red hair and watched Gilmore Girls, but then he said not everything needed to be interesting. But then I saw him on Hinge one time and it said the key to my heart is good banter. And it's like, well, I gave you that. I don't understand. And it was too much. I overdosed you on the one thing that you wanted.
I guess this is a little too interesting for you. A little too much banter.
Wait, let's bring it back to that Please. For 1 second. I think the prompts are often like... No, like good, everyone wants good banter.
Yes.
That's not something that you seek. Like that, first off, it's kind of ticky to be like, I'm really capable of good banter. Like,
right.
I'd never be like, oh,
it
I really.
It also goes back to that idea that like people are just doing something that like they found somebody else said, good banter.
It's and people it's a with bit. Bits. It's just it's like, bits. It's people that want to do bits.
And they just see something online. Because like now I think people like repost like either like, you know, admirable, you know, profiles or funny ones or whatever. And then people will just like redo those all the time.
Ugh. If you're out here doing good banter,
that's so bad.
No, it's horrible.
Do you not know about this good banter?
No, I know about good banter.
People are out here.
No, I know about that.
If you're,
I know about good banter.
It's like, if you're looking for good banter, you're already are not going to have it.
Right.
Yeah.
Ever. And well, you're like, it's too, no, you can get there. Sorry.
No, it's wow. That's a
this is a podcast about hope.
But I think that it's also good banter to me. It's like it's not you. Can't, it's about the two people. Like it is an interaction. You can't just be good at it. Like,
right.
I might be good at it with one person, and then I have no anything.
Totally.
That's an insane thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm like when you say you want good banter, I'm like you want. A relationship, like a
you
person.
Want someone to connect with on a fundamental level, like
a compatible,
you don't.
Because then also as podcasters, you could talk to anyone for any amount of time, really,
forever.
Say a single thing, and then at the end they'll be like, "No one's ever asked me about my deceased relative before," and it'll be like, well, yeah.
"You're like actually my dad is dead," I'm upset that you didn't ask.
Quite literally. Yeah.
Okay, should we do the next
so
one?
So, what would you say is one that you are a part of?
Okay, a boys club that I am a part of is...
I'm going to hate this thumbnail so much. I just know that my body language is so... Every time it comes out, I'm like, what's going on with me? And then I have to like talk myself through and be like, you're more than your body. And like, and I'm ready to do that.
You're in and out list too.
Out talking about your body. I mean that.
Okay.
Every urge I had to bring up my eating disorder, I'm not bringing up my eating disorder in 2025. In 2025, this is a podcast where I never had an eating disorder, and I won't even mention it.
Disorder erasure.
No trace of eating disorder in 2025. I know people are trying to bring eating disorders back with their whatever. It's
Ozempic,
like, relax.
It's not good.
Not this podcast.
No, God.
Not this podcast.
Not here.
Not here.
I am trying to figure out if creatine is good. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I have to delve into.
Wait. I should have let you speak.
Wait, no.
Do the question again. So
what do you feel like as a boys club that you are a part of?
Okay. A boys club that I am a part of is having a band, I think, is a boys club.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know.
100%.
What do you do?
I play guitar.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I know. And so my band, the thing is, the preface is they all live in Vermont still. We never formally disbanded. I was just like, I am... moving.
No, maybe they're all gonna come here like my family and come to America, you know what I mean, one by one. Someone sponsors the next
with
person.
A guitar and a dream, Lottie.
I love that.
Wait, are they still together?
Well, they all
I kind of feel bad for asking that, actually.
No, that's fine. They like, if I asked them to play a gig right now, like, they would.
I you were going to say if I asked them to break up.
I'm like, guys, stop hanging out without me. They'd say, all right, Max.
I'm like, actually, if
you caught us.
We're friends. They all are in, the whole thing was they were all in different bands that were different permutations of all of them separately. Mm. So, like, yes, they're all still playing music together in, like, different iterations. So yeah, but I do think even the having the I was in a band card or I had a band card still carries in some, like, when I've been talking to musicians around here, it just, like, suddenly you're in.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about, I met someone backstage at a gig and for comedy, and she was in a band and we were talking about it. And I was like, oh yeah, like, it's so hard to get people together for practice. And she was like, wait, yes. And I'm like, wait, this is a club.
Yeah.
The coolest thing you can be is comedian, musician, chef.
Wait, oh, that's
that
good.
Is a big trifecta.
Cocaine. Right. Those are the coolest things. You have two of the three.
True.
That is one of my best friends, Danny, from the band. He was like, you actually can't stop writing songs because your comedy will get bad. Like, you need this other thing.
That's funny.
Because he's like, music is just like, it is cooler. Like, you need this. And I think it is, but
I'm going into graphic design to help my comedy.
And I'm also a graphic designer, not my boys' club.
Connor starts writing poetry, Irish poetry.
I was trying to write a memoir one time called American Fag. I just didn't know what to do. COVID was weird for all of us.
You should do
Did
a show called American Fag.
Yeah, that's a
dude,
great...
I've been trying to. Copyright.
Wait, that's awesome. Okay.
American Fag. I love think that. It'll still be interesting?
It's like American Dad, but...
American fag.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind
I
of
love
like
that.
Hail to the American fag.
I don't know. There's many mediums here.
Wait, this. You really think this is a perfect idea?
Oh, I mean, I didn't say that, but I think there's some legs there.
I was looking for a new project.
Well, I think you found it.
American fag. Yeah. That's, yeah.
So, what? How did you start this band? And how did have you been in other bands before?
What's it called?
No, Headgear. Oh my. No.
Oh.
Connor thought your last name was Headgear, just to be fully transparent.
First of all,
he goes, can we get Max Headgear on the pod? I was like, who are you talking about? And then he was like, oh, Max Higgins. Yes, of course.
What's up with that?
That's
a band name. Now we
it's
know.
It's a band, but also Max Headroom is like an 80s phenomenon. It was like this TV show of like a fake AI, but like no one really knew if it was AI or not. So it's also sort of like an 80s ref. So I sort of really took apart a lot Max Headgear.
Totally. Did you think I was like on drugs when I said that?
No, I just was like, who are we talking about right now?
You're like, wait, what? I had never been in a band, desperately wanted to my whole life. Yeah. I was like, to your point, the artist way, when they're like, what would your other life be? Mine was always drummer.
I want to be a drummer so bad.
So
mostly so
bad.
That I can play the drums to Ballad of a Homeschool Girl by Olivia Rodrigo. I love that song, and I want to be able to just like jam on the drums.
I want
to
be a singer so I can sing the truth earnestly, like my tears ricochet. The problem with comedy is they always have to be like, LOL, but sometimes life is devastating.
No, that's...
there's no punchline.
Connor, that's
my
what
tears
I...
tears ricochet.
No, that's what I loved about being in a band, is I would do stand-up. And then I was like, okay, I am sad sometimes, and I haven't found a way to make this
But that's
money.
Giving Edinburgh. Like, is that... Were you doing that at Edinburgh?
Obviously, I was doing that in Edinburgh. Why do you think I go to Edinburgh?
You go there to sing your swan song, obviously.
Once a year, I do an hour that has, like, an earnest part where I'm like...
Yes, obviously.
And then I was gay. And like, and then
and I leave every time I try to do something earnest on stage, like in an hour or something like that, I leave wanting to jump.
It's humiliating.
I cannot believe I just spoke earnestly.
We weren't all meant to tell the truth. Like, it's awful.
Wait.
Which I think is an urge I should resist, because I do think there is something
to jump, yeah.
Well, to jump, of course, but I mean, like, to be upset, like, to be cringed at myself for saying something earnest on stage, because it's like, I don't know.
No,
I know.
Wait, guys, I'm so pro it. I'm like, no, do it.
Yeah,
I feel like
I'm pro
you're like
other people. It's just when I hear myself say something like that, I'm like, get over
yourself.
Wait,
but is it just because it's like you're not doing it all. Like when you do, you're expert at jokes, so you're like, I have this shit down.
Yeah.
And then you're never saying anything earnest on stage, so you do it one time, and it's not like fucking perfect.
And I also think it's just like a different, like, because at least if you bomb doing a joke, it's like, well, I know why that went wrong, because it wasn't funny or like I didn't say it right or whatever. And I can obviously, it sucks to like have a joke bomb, because it does also feel like I'm revealing myself to you and you're whatever, but to say something earnest And like often there's no response to that. They're just kind of like, yeah. And you're like, right. Okay, well,
there's something. I don't know what I wanted out of that, but.
Yeah.
No, I like not getting it on that is way worse than bombing. Yeah. You're like, oh, I said this for absolutely nothing.
Yeah. But or they laugh and you're like, well, that was earnest.
And here's the thing though about Edinburgh is it is a lot of people just like looking and engaging, but saying nothing.
Yeah, sure.
So that, to be fair, yes.
So that's where we have to take our
songs. Well, like one time we went to this open mic in this, and it was like a music one, but like also comedians, and it was in Manhattan, and it is weird because like a comedian, you're like, you get up there and you like know if you did good or bad, but a music person, you want to be like, you guys like this or not?
Wait, no, but that I felt like that was the freeing part of music is like you can kind of do bad and there's not like a response that would let you know.
That's beautiful.
You know, people actually I think still that's beautiful. They like that's tried.
And that is what has allowed Gracie Abrams to rise. And I think that's perfect.
Wait, somebody in the comments on one of our YouTubes, one of our few comments, and thank you for commenting, said our ambiguity on Gracie Abrams is a boys club to this person.
If you've commented on the YouTube, we love you. You're in our wills.
You're in our wills. Thank you so much. You get 1% of whatever this all becomes.
That's awesome.
Okay, wait. So have you ever done shows where you've played and then done a set? Like, sorry, to rephrase for anybody that was confused by that, like done a music set and then a comedy set.
Not back to back, but in the same night. Like I would go from a music gig to a comedy
gig. Okay, word. But not like your own show where you've
done both? No, but there was one show where like the bass broke and there was just a silence. And someone as a joke said, Max, tell a joke. But because I was on stage with a mic, I like didn't... This was me bombing. I was like, I don't... The correct answer, I think, would be to not do it. To not do it was the correct answer. Or to do it, like, knowing that it's a joke. But I kind of started being like, all right, it's time to do stand-up, which was not the answer at all.
Yeah.
No, the correct answer is to always take a risk.
Okay. Connor?
Whatever you say is always right. I had an improv teacher tell me that one time.
Really?
And he was ultimately wrong. But, like, the correct... What you say is always right.
Wait, okay.
Always.
Yeah, I feel
always.
Like...
If you've changed my perspective on everything I've said on this podcast. I'm like, it's actually been great.
And then this rich woman at work who worked at Goldman Sachs, but she never took any PTO to the point where she was on a forced leave. She said, never apologize to anyone. Never, ever. She was gorgeous, really rich, and a workaholic. And she never apologized
She never
to
apologized.
Anyone.
I do feel like, though, like anytime somebody asks you to do stand-up, when it's like not what was about to happen, it's the fucking worst. Because you like...
Yeah.
I don't think people... We know this from... doing it so often that like you know all of the little things that need to go right for a set to work and for people and like one of those things is people knowing that stand up is on the way.
Yeah.
When they don't know that it's on the way, they are not ready for it. And
it's not a birthday cake. It's not a good surprise.
No, it's not. And I've done plenty of surprise shows and those are always a pain in the ass. But like also then to like at least for me and think about my own stand up and stuff, to gear up to get into what mostly I talk about my transition and stuff on stage in my life. And so like to gear up into that to just like let it flatline in front of a group of people who just wanted to eat their tacos in peace at this restaurant that wasn't supposed to have a show. It's tough. It's tough. So I feel you. That's that's the worst situation to be in.
No, it's bad. And I did try. And I think it is all the little things. I think where I got tripped up was that I was standing on stage. I was like, I got this. And I had a guitar, which made me feel...
Did we hit
I was
play
like,
on these?
We
hit
play on yes, we did.
Oh my God.
Why we for been, sure do you want to double check?
Why have I been looking at that so much then in that case?
Okay, cool.
Yes, no, it's good. That's so great.
The ins and outs list is actually what's in post.
I just saw A Complete Unknown.
Yes,
I
wanted to bring it up naturally. So glad it came up. Okay.
Okay, one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when they have Johnny Cash and he's holding the guitar like a gun.
Yes.
I was like, oh my fuck, I want to do that on stage so bad. Like that is so baller.
Absolutely. And I have tried.
Yeah.
Should I have? No.
Wait, we're the opposite though, because my version of that is Taylor Swift when she wears the like the war person's coat and then does like a death march to where you stand by someone who wanted me dead. You've never even heard the song. And you know that because I say it. So
I know that line because you say it a lot.
Do you know that song?
No.
It's okay. That's gonna be my least played song next year.
I do love Tears Ricochet though, for what it's worth.
Beautiful.
And you're sleeping, baby, lullaby.
I think that's about these men that stole the rights to her music, and it's just a beautiful song.
Copyright.
Stole, literally robbed this woman.
Listen, and we believe that she has enough power to be sued and to sue. That's
We're
right.
I
she's sort
her.
Of on
she's
the playing
there.
Field.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Wait, I feel like I cut you off.
I don't think so. No.
We're talking about bands. We're talking about.
I want to be in a band, unknown. But it's too. Yes, I fantasize about being in a band literally all the time. No, Whenever I listen to music, it's actually just me fantasizing about being in a band. But I find that the music that will least affect my mood, because the problem with music is that it will put me into a depressive state.
Okay.
Whereas, like,
it's powerful.
It is. Yes. Broadway won't. But then you're listening to Broadway, and, like, that's not great either.
Then you're walking around doing the whatever the fuck that song is. Low.
Okay.
And then your day list is going to be, like, tenor gay. And it's like, I'm not trying to do that. I'd rather my day list be, like, sad girl.
Broadway star.
Yes. Like, if the day, like, I don't want that. And if, like, my most played song is, like, Rent, like, I'm not doing that.
No. Well, then you can't. I mean, then you can't post that online.
I couldn't go on. I haven't been able to post online for 2 years because it was too sad. And I didn't want anyone to feel vindicated. So I was like, I'm not doing this.
I mean, I think the answer, if you want to be in a band, is to find people who are...
not even.
It's find people who are really good musicians who all want to play together, who kind of just like your vibe and will let you do whatever.
A personality hire.
Yes. No, I swear to God. Because a half of a band, it's like you do sort of need one person who's just going to sort of take that slot. And a lot of musicians don't really want to.
What would I do?
I don't know.
Just bring good vibes.
Yes.
Okay, but like what
you
would
mean
I
miss instrument?
Do?
Yeah.
With well, my body.
We know that you once played the trombone.
Bless.
Okay. No one wants to hear that. Even the best trombone player, it's like, okay. Like,
is that a transferable skill?
It wasn't a skill at all. Like,
he never got it. He never acquired the skill.
I didn't know that there was a spit valve until the last day. That's true. And it did always
it
smell weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Did it sound like gargly every time you blew into it? No. Yeah.
But it was
no
rare.
One clocked that, though. No one was like, hey, Carter,
I didn't blow into it a lot. I would hold it, and then this guy that was next to me, Shane Kensel, we don't have to cut that because he was lovely, nothing negative to say. He would go like one, he'd go out, and then I'd go a split second later, boop, 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 boop.
And your director would be like, Janda, why are you a hair off every time?
And it would always be like Earth, Wind, and Fire. Do you remember? Every time.
Wait,
they had every single middle school band play that song, I think. Yeah.
They were like, we would love to ruin this for a generation of parents if we could.
Do you remember? We wish and we weren't right now. We wish we hadn't remembered. Okay, band. I think I would want to play the drums, like I said. The guitar is so hard.
I would want guitar.
It's a complicated instrument.
No, I mean, the guitar, it's... Wait, you would love it?
Yes, I would want guitar, and I would want to be the man that wrote Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls, so
wait,
people know it's complicated.
I was thinking that earlier.
No, but you can...
I love
the guitar
that
riff, and that is killer. And I'd be like... and it'd be like really like...
Wait, yes, you can play easy guitar though. That's what I had.
You think it's not too late, really?
No, it's not.
I
if
say
you
my
learn
age.
A couple chords.
<It's like laughs> finally comes out. I Max finally gets into
I
doing
knew you were. That was your age.
Episodes and episodes in, I trick Connor into saying his
wait,
age.
Wait, what's your age?
No, wait, stop. I'm not.
See, you're always trying to goat the guest into doing things that we're not that you don't ultimately want.
And thankfully, I actually now I've tracked that since the first thing, and now
yes,
I'm not good.
Yes.
But
and that's comedy.
You're safe with me. Don't worry.
Rule of thirds.
I will keep the two of you separated. Okay. You think it's not too learned for?
I don't.
A guitar.
But with the asterisk, it's like you get a second guitarist who shreds.
Oh, true.
Wait, this is like
you
play
rhythm
guitar.
Get a
vibes guitar,
no, totally.
And you get a real guitar.
Yes.
This is like when we would do tap musicals, but then it would just be 8 gorgeous tap dancer girls in front, and the rest of us in soft shoe just jumping up and down.
Yeah, but in this case,
not
you get
soft shoe.
Guitar.
Yeah. I love soft shoe. You can play soft guitar.
I mean, the most gorgeous girls in high school.
That's so funny.
That was how I got social capital in high school, was that I was friends with the most gorgeous girls that were the tap dancers in the musical at the all-girls school.
And you were
school.
In the back soft shoe.
Yeah.
Cabaret.
That's how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait.
Should we get to our last question?
What do you feel like is one that you want to see in the world?
Okay, a boys club I would love to see in the world. All caps handwriting for adults.
Love that.
Why? It's giving Telegram.
It's no, okay. I feel like I remember, not to keep bringing it back to age.
The ultimate boys club.
God!
I'm gutted by that. I was literally like in the military, whatever you're going to say. I was like off literally at war.
When I was a kid, I remember adults all having all caps handwriting.
Well, I remember
You know what I mean?
I've made an enemy.
Did you not do cursive?
Yeah, we did. I actually did cursive twice because I went to Catholic school and then public school, and public school did it a year later. So I really did cursive.
We like kind of cut cursive after middle school. We did it up and through middle school and or till middle school, and then I think they let us do print, and then I just like never did cursive again.
Right.
You disagree?
Are you doing cursive?
No.
He never learned to write.
I
just don't feel like I ever did cursive, but I just think I wrote really pretty.
Was it
like,
similar? Was it similar to the trombone where you were just kind of following what other people were doing?
Have you seen me write before?
Yeah.
I write kind of weird.
That's okay.
Do you know that?
Well, I
my dad told me over break that I write weird.
That's okay. You know what's weird is I think that my handwriting is getting closer to my parents.
Right.
Every single day. Weirdly.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think I crave, and I don't know if you're picturing the kind of all caps handwriting I'm talking about. It's like slightly slanted. It feels, it has a vibe of cursive to it.
Yeah.
But I sort of thought that at this point, more of us would just sort of age into that.
Yeah.
And my sister.
In my brain, the way I was picturing like the most gorgeous note that said, didn't want to wake you, ran to get strawberries. The note.
Yeah.
It's like, of course I remember those. Yeah, of course.
Exactly. I want that, and I feel
that. What is the situation? Didn't want to wake you.
We're hopeless romantics. We're like hopeless romantics.
No, you've both been watching Gilmore Girls.
That's
is what it is.
So true. If the note could not be found on the table in the house at Gilmore Girls, yeah. I'm not playing.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, all caps writing.
All caps writing. Well, I just think that I went through a phase where I was like, I'm making this happen because this is what we do. This is growing up. My sister mailed me a Christmas card, and I was just like, oh, that's your handwriting from like the whole time. Like I just sort of in my mind thought it would be different, but I was like, oh, I've seen that like on like a folder. Like we haven't, I was like, oh, we're all doing the same.
Yeah.
I want the all cap. And I also do it. And I think that I worry it comes off aggro. And
like you're shouting at someone.
And if we all
worry about that. To bring this back to our first thing about how we're going to be rude to people on planes, I feel, because like there's no one's policing that. And it's like, why should we suffer? You need, don't worry about that.
Let
them think you're shouting through the mouth.
I'm going to write that to TSA in all caps.
Yeah.
If they think that, then what's really should be looked at is what within them is threatened by that.
Mm-hmm. By an all caps letter. I'm curious about your thoughts on this,
please.
And just like hearing you talk about handwriting, because I've thought a lot about handwriting because I remember it being such a stressor for me as a kid because it felt like something weirdly innately gendered that I like did not really understand because all the girls had this beautiful handwriting that I'm like, when did you learn that? Who taught you bubble letters? Like who, I don't remember learning this. And then boys have, you know, traditionally like sloppier handwriting. And I was always really stressed about where I fell on this.
That's my handwriting.
Wait, oh,
it just says,
yes,
I can. Yes, I can. No, none of it, but you can't even, you can't even read it.
But that's the point. I feel like Morning Page's handwriting is different to me.
It's supposed to just be like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
well, yes.
I feel like I would all, similarly, I like imagine, it was one of those things that I imagined like what my handwriting might look like down the line as like another way of being like, what is my life going to be like? And this was like an extension of me in some way. So I wonder too if like that's in there of like
absolutely
explore being like, oh, what am I gonna be like when I grow up? What am I gonna write like when I grow up?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I remember a period of time where I kept around that time where people sometimes change their handwriting in like 6th, 7th grade.
Yeah.
And that's where I think like the girl handwriting like really gets solidified. I remember I was trying to figure out what letter A was gonna like
fit.
And I kept writing my old name and being like, surely I will find a way to write this where I will enjoy looking at it. Never happened.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, no, like certainly I just haven't like found the font that it goes in.
It's not a gender problem or a name, it's a font.
Right.
It's
the font. And then eventually it was like, okay, no, it's maybe just, is. It's something. And now the handwriting is fine.
Yeah.
But I do think I am very conscious of that. And I actually like my handwriting because it feels like masculine. Like I remember being like, I just like the way it looks to the point of the all cap. I'm like,
There's something. But I totally feel that because I feel like that's like a weird thing. Not a weird thing that I've thought about all my life, but there's like for some reason that's always like sort of been there.
Right. I do love those little ones where you're like, oh, here's where I was trying to imagine a future. And it just sort of is like it comes through in like that
strange ways.
Yes. Yeah. And I think ways that like people wouldn't expect that. But it's like I'm like, no, it's like the.
And it must also be too like drawn or related back to like, your earliest time learning to write is writing your name and like writing things like that. So you're probably, it's like probably really tied to all that kind of stuff, which is interesting.
Totally.
But yeah. What about you? Any,
I feel like the privilege that I had was that I did not. And actually, when you were saying that, I was like, why are you interrupting this thing? It's like, it's not about you. It's not about you. And you're like,
but we had a nice look.
You're
we had
throwing
a nice
your
look.
Book at people.
We had a nice like, look at your book.
No, I have my thing with, I just loved that I wrote weird. No one ever told me how. So then teachers would try to help me get better by giving me like, sparkly pencil grips, and I was like, yay.
Did like you like those?
Well, they didn't work. I just liked that it was sparkly.
I know.
Cool.
I never understood the pencil grips and all the sort of accoutrement that came with the various pencils, because I was like, what are y'all doing over there that you can't just like regular?
Yeah, my third grade teacher, Kitty Ferry, my mom didn't like her because she let me call her Kitty.
Ooh.
I think my mom was like, you'll never respect someone who calls her Kitty. But that was her name, and whatever. And she gave me pencil grips.
See, I think it's stuff like that that makes me think you're from Boston. I'm like, that it's like that. I'm like, that feels like Boston parenting. I do
that's
think,
a matriarch.
Look, that's a goddamn matriarch.
Yeah,
I am from a matriarchal home.
Wait, that's awesome. I do think that like the all the extra pencil stuff, the accoutrement is, I think that was them making up for, they're like, we know something is wrong. We don't know how to fix it.
Yeah. So you can't whole... write legibly. What if we gave you a little grip? Is it a grip problem?
I still don't
like,
get
it did
what
feel
it
like
is.
A signifier. They were just like, we know something's yeah. happening.
And I still held the pencil the same way, right. Just wider.
They're like, all right, no you got two there. Options. You can try this pencil grip, or we can send you down to the other learning center.
Right. And they never gave me one. And I think I always wanted one for that reason. Yeah. Like, I wanted someone to be like, okay, like something's happening. We don't know what. And I don't even think I had that problem, but I was just like, it would be nice to be seen.
I was also just never, I don't know, I was always behind on any like little cool little things like that people had. Like, erasers. I never had the fun erasers or like this. I was always showing up to school being like, I just have the basic ass pencils. Like,
yeah, and I never got book socks. My dad would make us wrap
no,
them
of
in what's the those
brown paper.
Brown
paper
bag.
Yeah,
grocery bag.
My mom too, like, she was always so like, when the list would come from the school that was like, you must have this type of thing, this type of thing, this type of thing, she was like, we're not skewing from this at all. Then you get to school and everybody else did not take the list seriously, and you're the only one with the like exact thing.
Yes, like the TI fucking 84. They were like, we kept last year's. You're like, we could keep last year's.
Yeah, yeah. And my mom, like, because I didn't have any older siblings, like I didn't have anybody to be like, oh you don't actually need that. Yeah, and then by the time my siblings got there, I could be like, hey, you don't actually have to do that. But I didn't have the benefit of the doubt. I had my mom with that checklist being like, no pencil grips. Not
absolutely
happening.
Not. And then they didn't give you one in class, and now Connor had them all.
Yeah.
Do you know when you're a kid and someone explains something that you've always believed to be a truth as like that you're wrong, and you're like those are the things that really stick with you. Like, I remember in kindergarten, I told this teacher that my birthday was April 31st, and she's like, it's not. And I was like, what the fuck? I was so confused.
Why
I was like,
did you
are
think
you,
it was the 31st?
I was like, are you gaslighting? Like, are you joshing me?
Why did you think it was the 31st?
I just know it was the last day of April, and like other months were 31. And
gotcha.
It's like, people aren't explaining this. Gotcha. You. But then in third grade, when she was like, you write weird, I was like, seriously? Like, what the fuck? It's like, no one's told me this. Like, why would
my birthday's not on the 31st?
And I wanted to be like, why wouldn't they have mentioned in all the other grades? Like, what were these women doing? All of them.
Yes.
Valerie, who voted for George Bush, first grade teacher. I said, who'd you vote for?
She told you.
Yeah.
With pride.
It was the time of the election. I'm outing myself.
Stop.
The second one. It was the first one.
No, it's okay. Okay. I'm not good enough at math or quick enough that I'm not, I don't know still. I still don't know.
And if you're doing math at home, stop.
Everyone, stop.
Put the pencils down.
And the grips.
She was a lovely lady. She got married, and it felt like a really exciting thing for her when it happened.
Happy for her.
Like, I think it was like a long time coming, and it was like, oh, this is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Anyway,
well, Max, thank you so much for being on the podcast, dude. We're so happy that we got to have you on.
Thank you for having me. Absolute joy.
Yeah. Do you want to plug your show one more time and anything else
you
got coming up?
Yes. Talk show with Max Higgins at Caveat. It's on January 7th.
Tomorrow
at 9:30. And then my Instagram at Max_headgear. Famously my
you
last
heard it
name.
Here first.
yeah. That's what I'm up to.
Fuck
thank
yeah.
you so much for having me on. This was so fun.
Thank you for
yeah,
doing
thanks
this
for
podcast.
Doing it. And check Max out on Instagram. See his show tomorrow if you're in New York. He's a very funny comedian. Definitely
so
check it out. Till next week. Thanks, boys.